You're listening to MLB on TuneIn Live,
the podcast.
Play ball!
Presented by eSurance, official sponsor of Major League Baseball. eSurance, insurance for the modern world. We're giving you the best content from each episode of MLB on TuneIn Live. MLB on TuneIn Live airs weekdays from 7 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time on TuneIn.
Welcome into MLB on TuneIn, the podcast, presented by eSurance. I'm Holden Kushner. Today I'm joined by Ned Coletti. All 30 teams in action on Wednesday. We'll dive into that action with Best Day Ever, Home Run Tracker, and Statistically Speaking. All right, Ned, it is time to get going here. Yes, it is that time. It is that time to honor those who we think are better than everybody else.
Best Day Ever on MLB on TuneIn Live.
All right, my man, let's do this. Who is your best day ever on the mound?
Well, I'm going to split it up here a little bit, but I'm going with the Zachs. I'm going with Zach Wheeler and Zach Lee. Both of them high-profile young players, both of them struggling to get to the big leagues and struggling to stay healthy in the case of Zach Wheeler. Both of them pitched well today. I'm going to split the vote. I'm going Zach.
Any other co-host wants to do that, I tell him no way. The Godfather wants to do it, he does it.
Well, it makes sense today. I mean, it is Zach Lee's best day ever. We do know that.
Well, then why don't you just go with Zach Lee?
Well, because I don't want to leave the other Zach out. I mean, how many times you had two guys with the same name that do something successful that have been waiting on?
You're right. That's fascinating.
It's a special. Sure. It deserves an asterisk. Yeah. That's why we can do it tonight.
There are two guys named John have never had great
Zach's a little different than John. Time. I mean, John's been around a long time. Zach,
right.
A little bit
four-letter names, very, very rare. Hey, I'm going to go with Amir Garrett, Ned.
I know that. That's a big surprise. You could have had a guy throw a no-hitter. Shelby Miller could be throwing a no-hitter right now. You'd be going with him.
Yeah, with Amir Garrett?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt about it. So, yeah. I mean, what are you going to do to follow up the great start that he had where he shut out the Cardinals for six innings in his Major League debut and got a win? Well, he went six shutout against the Pirates and then came out the seventh inning, gave up a two-run home run to David Freese. But the big left-hander, love everything about him. 6 2/3 innings, five hits, two runs, five Ks, no walks. Amir Garrett, best day ever. What about at the plate? Who's your guy?
Well, you go first. I'll let you go first as a hitter.
All right. I'm going to go with the Atlanta Braves. Now, they ended up beating the Miami Marlins 5-4 tonight. Two guys in this game had a pair of home runs. One of those guys was Giancarlo Stanton. The other guy is the guy that no one's going to talk about. So I'm going to have to give Ender Inciarte some big props here. One of the best defensive players in the game. Great center fielder. Love what he does out there. He was the leadoff hitter tonight. Off to a really slow start this year. But 2 for 4, a couple of home runs, 3 RBIs. Ender Inciarte is my best day ever.
I'm going all the way out to Washington, D.C., and Piscotty, the right fielder for St. Louis. 3 for 5 today as the Cardinals try to shake off the doldrums of a slow start. 3 for 5, 5 RBIs, first home run of the year. 2 on, 2 out, and the 9th off of Joe Blanton. Up to 7 RBIs for Piscotty. Had 5, 2 out RBIs. 5, count them, 5, 2 out RBIs.
Yep, can't argue with that. That's some pretty good logic right there, and I like it. So that is the best day ever. Now let's catch up with all the home runs from today and tonight.
MLB on TuneIn Live, Home Run Tracker.
In the day game, Brian Dozier finally got on the board. His first of the year, went 422 feet. Ricky Weeks hit one 413. Ryan Schimpf hit one 403 in Colorado. And Andrew Romine's Grand Slam traveled 396 feet. Longest home run. Today it was won by 1 foot. The longest home run by 1 foot today, Aaron Judge. A home run in his third straight game. The Yankee slugger, 437 feet, 109 miles an hour off the bat. Your boy Piscotty, 422. His home run went. Trey Mancini hit two today for tonight for the Baltimore Orioles. Mancini hit one 392 feet. His second went 393 feet. And it was the second hardest, or actually it was the hardest hit home run, tied with Giancarlo Stanton's second home run. They both went 116 miles off the bat, 116. Adam Jones, Jonathan Scope, Chris Davis all went yard alongside Mancini. Ender Inciarte's two home runs. His first one went 380 feet. His second one went 361. Freddie Freeman, 422. Andrew Tolles in the first. It went out of the park. Jonathan Villar How about his 417-foot blast? And Pablo Sandoval of the Red Sox went 366. David Freese hit one 388. Michael Franco, 431-foot grand slam, 107 miles an hour off the bat. Ender Inciarte's second one went 361. Mike Napoli with the Rangers, 411. Elvis Andrews, 436 feet, 104 off the bat for the little guy, not bad. Mike Freeman of the Mariners, highest launch angle, 39 degrees. You love launch angle, Ned Coletti.
Nothing like launch angle.
366, 98 off the bat, 39 degrees. Mike Trout's homer. Left at 106 miles an hour, traveled 425 feet. Taylor Motter hit one 396. And Raul Mondesi Jr., 436 for the Kansas City Royals. So you got the hardest hit home runs, one from Stanton, one from Mancini, both at 116 miles an hour. And Aaron Judge hit one 437, the longest home run of the day slash night. Elvis Andrews' home run later on. In the night with the Rangers went 1 foot shorter. So not
hold
bad.
On, I got to tell you something. You know, you talk about launch angle and you talk about exit velocity, all that. You know that there's another term that is going to become very popular here that I invented.
Oh, boy. Let's hear this
It's really, Ned. Think about it. It's real. When you think about it, outfielder throws a runner out at a base. You got to have re-entry velocity. How hard does the outfielder throw? Why wouldn't you want to know that?
Yeah, but you do know that. There is a stat for that.
Well, do you know what the velocity
is? It's called velocity. No, it's just like it's a velocity. It's like a pitcher throwing a pitch. It's just like an outfielder. They say, oh, he threw the ball 99 miles an hour.
Okay, so well, we're going to have to
They're ahead of you on this one,
we're
going
to have to start talking about it. Yeah, but they didn't name it reentry velocity. I've copyrighted
the name.
You're
right. If you want to come up with reentry velocity, by all means, I will put you in touch with Sabre, and you can talk to them about coming up with
well,
a new
let's
name.
Get the
sounds
number.
Like
let's
you're
get
very
them on,
passionate.
Let's get them on the air. I mean, let's do something here. We'll make TuneIn even more famous.
Well, yeah, we did do that last year. Hey, since Ned's all about the stats tonight, let's dig a little deeper into him.
Statistically speaking.
All right, Ned. What happens when you're 1-for-20 with runners in scoring position?
You usually get beat.
Well, you only score one time. Yes, and you usually get beat too. Very good. That's what the White Sox were the last three games, but that one was Matt Davidson's two-run single in tonight's win. Trey Mancini of the Orioles, first player in O's history to hit five home runs in his first 10 career games in the majors. That does span back to last year. So Mancini played in three games last year, and then now he's playing this year. Rockies snapped their streak of 120 straight home games without being shut out. Longest such streak since the Reds 2011 to 2013, 126 straight. Think about that. The Rockies, a year and a half worth of games, 120 straight games at home without being shut out. That's difficult. And no surprise there either, Ned, that Great America Ballpark would be the other place with the long streak. Pop flies are going out.
No doubt. No doubt. It's tough to throw a shutout in Coors Field. It is between balls flying out and the outfield, the square footage of the outfield, I got to believe, is the biggest in Major League Baseball. You almost need, forget about the humidor. They probably need four outfielders. That would probably be a little bit fairer in that ballpark.
Yeah, they're actually there's some evaluators talking about four outfielders being the new hot thing in Major League Baseball. So hopefully.
Invent stuff. Invent stuff.
Max Scherzer had his 45th game with at least 10 Ks since 2011. That's the most in the majors. Clayton Kershaw second with 43 such games. The Reds are 7-2, best start through nine games since 1990 when they were 9-0 and they went on to win the World Series. Then the Blue Jays 1-7, worst start to the season through eight games in franchise history. That, my friends, is statistically speaking.
You're listening to MLB on TuneIn, the podcast, presented by eSurance. And we'll be right back with more after this. TuneIn is your home for all NFL action, now featuring No Huddle.
Cordell Stewart, he's just that versatile.
And Brian Weber.
I'm a middle-aged white guy. It's a team effort here.
You're a great guy.
Yeah,
excellent young man. I appreciate it.
I wouldn't go.
I gave you young man
Save
for that
the
one.
Tape. Excellent young man,
this
Brian
is the
Weber.
Last time I'll say it, though.
Cordell Stewart and Brian Weber will break down all things NFL.
I'm not doing
Don't
truth.
You have to.
I'm telling you
See,
what the outcome's going to be.
That's the problem I'm having with you right
truth
now.
Truth is the name of
because
your book.
Because you know
Sell
what's
that book
wrong
again.
And you know what's right, you would prefer to go with what's wrong because the pundits are the ones that determine what happens.
I'm telling you what's going to happen.
No, I'm asking you.
The name of the show is not Shoulda, Woulda, Coulda.
Let's try this one.
That's our podcast.
Let me rephrase this one more time.
We're going to do that on Sunday.
Listen live Monday through Friday from 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern or catch all the replays and interviews on demand on the NFL on TuneIn.
It's like us being on our app and being able to come into your cell phones. And it's different now.
This is MLB on TuneIn, the podcast, presented by eSurance, official sponsor of Major League Baseball. Now, here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and Ned Coletti.
Time now for the MLB on TuneIn Live Triple Play, presented by eSurance. This is the segment in the podcast when Ned and I talk about three topics from today that interest us. We'll discuss top pitching performances and the surprise teams off to either really fast or slow starts, but we're going to start the triple play talking about the rings that the Cubs were given Wednesday night in honor of their World Series victory.
The MLB on TuneIn Triple Play, presented by eSurance.
Let's talk about these Cubs rings here for a second. It was ring night. So you raised the banner the first game. They wait a day. Then you got the second game. The rings, you know how much they cost? $70,000 per ring.
Oh, my.
$70,000. And everybody in the organization seems to get one. So I'm sure there's people that have a ring that's worth more than what they made last year. But 214 diamonds, Ned. 5.5 carats worth of diamonds. You had 3 carats of red rubies. 33 red rubies. 2.5 carats of sapphires. 46 sapphires. That, my friend, is a real ring. $70,000.
They say that they gave out 1,908 rings plus other jewelry. Sometimes there's necklaces, sometimes there's bracelets, sometimes there's watches. But not everything costs $70,000, but that is a huge, huge investment by Mr. Ricketts and the Ricketts family. Well-deserved for the organization and all those who put a lot of time into it. I've also heard that they went back and gave rings to a few people who are no longer in the organization, who had done a great job and helped build that franchise before leaving on for other clubs or retiring from the game. So what I hear is correct. There's a lot of class in that organization. The ring, when you do see it, look it up on the internet, you will be greatly impressed by the class and the just the celebration that will show up on somebody's hand for a long time.
I'm pretty sure your boy Rick Sutcliffe got one because he was thanking two guys for the World Series rings that he got. He said he thanked Tommy Lasorda for a World Series ring that he had, and he thanked Joe Maddon. So Rick Sutcliffe
getting
a World Series ring, all right?
There you go.
I hope they gave one to Billy Williams.
Oh, I'm sure they did. Billy's still part of the organization. Yeah, I'm sure that.
Sandberg, yes. All those guys.
Still part of the organization. You know, I heard even Jim Henry, who Theo Epstein replaced a few years ago, they showed a lot of class by presenting Jimmy Henry with a ring, who now works for the New York Yankees.
Oh, that's
he did
awesome.
A great job, and a couple other front office people who had moved on when the regime changed and got kind of caught in the switches there, which happens all the time in professional sport, that they still went back and they honored them for all their time and effort put into helping build a championship club. Very classy. You know, I've known Theo Epstein a long time, and what I've seen him do, and along with Jed Hoyer, it's pretty interesting. He's a very smart guy, obviously, in a lot of ways. One of the things that I noticed last year, I heard about as I tracked them guys through the LCS because LA was playing them, and then the World Series, as we brought the World Series to tune in and a lot of interviews and things. What he would do on the road when they would go into a city is he would get somebody to get the NBA basketball court, the arena, where at the Staples Center in LA or another place in Cleveland where the Cavs play, and he would end up bringing his staff to have a pickup basketball game the morning of game one. Kind of take everybody's mind off everything, try and bring more camaraderie, more teamwork. I think what Theo Epstein has done is he's like a great player. He slows his mind down, thinks about what is important, thinks about where the value points are, and decides that is what he's going to do. And he's got great support from above with Tom Ricketts and his family. I think it's an organization that went through maybe the three toughest years in the 100-some years history of a franchise that hadn't won for over a century. They lost more games Theo's first 3 years than any other three-game span in the history of the franchise. But it was all part of the building plan, and you got to be patient, and that's what they did. and now they're reaping the benefit, and they may reap it for quite a while. Especially when you treat people the way they treated people, that comes back in spades.
Well, I still think the 1908 championship ring is worth a lot more. And as I told you before, I bought a genuine, I bought one of the World Series rings from 08 and 07, and they cost me $59.99. I got a great bargain on them. I would think normally they'd be $59,000, probably more than that, probably hundreds of thousands of dollars. But yeah, you can buy some nice replica rings. They're not going to have a replica of this out there for a little bit, but $70K. These are absolutely gorgeous, just gorgeous rings. And I wish I had one, but I don't. So life goes on, and we'll move on from that. Let's talk about some of these other pitching performances that we saw. Now, Chase Anderson, listen, this kid has been great. Went out in his debut, gave up a run in six against the Rockies. Tonight, he beat Stroman with seven shutout innings and seven strikeouts. But, man, let's give it to Stroman here for a second. Nine innings, four Ks, two earned runs, 15 groundouts, and a game that lasted 2 hours and 15 minutes. He's not going to get the props that he deserves nationally, so I'm going to give it to him here. I thought he was almost as impressive as Chase Anderson tonight, and he went deeper into the ball game as well.
He pitched really good. I love watching the kid pitch. He has got so much enthusiasm to him and so much emotion that he displays. And you get 15 ground balls. You know what? Sometimes 15 ground balls are better than 15 strikeouts because it's more efficient typically. You throw 15 strikeouts, that's a tremendous performance. That's a lot of pitches. Game was short tonight. Part of the reason was he was getting ahead of hitters early, putting them away, getting ground ball outs. Fortunately, his team, the game was also quick because Toronto has really not much offense these days. So not a whole lot going on with the Toronto bats, but he did pitch great tonight.
Yeah, he was wonderful. I thought Zach Wheeler was terrific through five innings. He had shutout baseball. Terry Collins left him in there for the sixth, and he left with bases loaded, no score. Robles came in and gave up the grand slam. And I don't blame Terry. You know what? You got a five-run lead. You want to push the kid a little bit, see what he's made of, get him back in there. It's only his second start since having Tommy John a couple years ago. I mean, come on. I love that Terry left him in there. He's going to get slammed, of course, because he's in New York, but that's fine. What'd you make of Wheeler's start this evening?
I thought it was very good. I thought that I'm a Terry Collins fan, so it doesn't. He knows what he's doing. This guy got the Mets to the World Series a few years ago. Nobody expected it as that season started. You saw under all the heat last year when people were thinking that he was going to get let go, how that team rallied at the end of the season with really a pitching staff that was mostly call-up guys. So I thought that Terry Collins did the right thing. I thought Weaver pitched well. Weaver is going to have a bit of a road back. Top prospect, San Francisco, traded for Beltran a few years ago. Everybody thought that the Giants gave up too much. It teaches you once again that you don't know who you're giving up, and you don't know necessarily if they're going to make it or if they're not going to get hurt. But Wheeler pitched very well tonight, and the Mets are hoping that he continues doing it because that will add to that great young staff they've got.
Real quick, I just want to go back to Marcus Stroman and add one note. So he had the first complete game of the season for the Blue Jays. I can't believe this, but I found the stat on Sportsnet Stats. The Blue Jays didn't have a complete game in the regular season last year. Think about that. With all the great pitching that they have, Sanchez, of course, they weren't letting go deep, but Estrada, Jay Happ, Stroman. They didn't have one complete game last year. Stroman had it this year. And then last and definitely not least, how about Amir Garrett? I mean, listen, I wasn't expecting him to be this good. Six shutout in his first start. And then tonight, I'm glad again that Price left him in there to go out for another inning. Did he give up the two runs? Yeah, he gave up two-run home run to David Freese. Big deal. Amir Garrett has got it going. Not only do I like what he's doing on the mound, just from a numbers standpoint, but I love the way he carries himself. I love the fact that he takes his cleat and he writes the letter A right in the dirt, and it's facing his batters. You know, just he's marking his ground, marking his territory up there. Big left-hander, 6 foot six, college hoops player at St. John's. Kid went out there and just shoved it down the Pirates' throats tonight again. This might be the most exciting prospect in baseball that I've seen this year.
Well, it's early in the season, Holden. This is your favorite player.
Yes,
I think there's no doubt this is your favorite player. Last year it was Bogaerts. This year,
It was Bogarts? I didn't even remember
I think so. Maybe or Mookie Betts is one or the other. I mean, you were like, every time we'd be on the air, it was like this was the only player in baseball. So anyway, tough to argue today, but we'll see how the rest of the year goes. I love your enthusiasm. I love how you hit your start to the young player and see what happens. But very well done tonight.
Yeah, he was absolutely remarkable. And then one more time for your guy, Zach Lee, a guy that you drafted that went to Coors today and threw 5 1/3 shutout innings against the Rockies. I mean, let's not go out and expect Zach Lee to be an all-star pitcher or anything like that, but there's jobs to be had in San Diego right now. Why not Zach Lee?
Well, he'll get another start. You can pretty much rest assured on that. He did walk 4 hitters. He did get away with some pitches, obviously, in Coors Field. You cannot be walking people. But he did, and he got away with it. But you know what? He won his first big league game. And not everybody can say that. A lot of people get drafted. A lot of people play professional baseball. Not everybody gets a chance to get a W next year to their name like he did today.
Yep, took him a little while to get there, but he's up at 25 years old, and he had a remarkable start. You know, the exact opposite to those guys would be the two starters that we saw in Boston tonight. Steven Wright just got shelled, and Ubaldo Jimenez not lasting long enough either in that game. But you talk about there's some really good young pitching in the game, and I think we're seeing it here. And I'm really hoping Zach Wheeler can stay healthy too, because saw a little glimmer of hope there that he can be a big, big part of this rotation going forward this season. Hey, let's go back to the Blue Jays here for a second, Ned, and talk about some teams that are off to hot starts and teams that are not off to hot starts. Blue Jays are a franchise worst 1-7. They never started 1-7. Only three teams in the history of the game have ever made the playoffs at 1-7. Do you know that? 2011 Rays, 95 Reds, 74 Pirates. This is a bad hole that Toronto has put themselves in right now. They are getting some decent starting pitching, but they are not hitting with runners in scoring position. 0-3 tonight. They already came in hitting about .150 with runners in scoring position. This is absolutely brutal start offensively, and I'm not just going to pin it on the loss of Encarnacion because I thought their offense would struggle anyways, but I really do think if they didn't already know it, they're going to have to rely on their starting rotation to win.
Well, I think that had to be part of the thought process this winter, too. When you let Encarnacion go, you know that your offense is going to take a hit. You know that you're not going to be as productive as you were the year before. You also know that you've got some good young pitching. And they're not rookie pitchers. They're really established guys that are not at the tail end of their career. They're kind of in the midst of their career or still a little bit on the incline. So that's got to be the thought process. You let Encarnacion go. You're not going to sign him long term. You know your offense is going to be a little bit short, but you believe in your pitching staff. And you know at the end of the day that you're going to have to pitch anyway to win. So if you believe in it, that's how you go. And you let a great run producer go and you replace him with Morales. And that's a decision you make, and that's what you're going to have to live with.
Oh, listen, they got a great rotation. And I already mentioned these guys in the show with – you know, you go from Sanchez to Stroman to the veterans and Estrada and Happ, and Liriano got shelled in his first start. You go as far as number five starters go, there can't be a better number five starter in the game right now than Francisco Liriano. Although, you know, Gazelman's pretty good with the Mets, but he's just been terrific. Everybody is struggling. Donaldson hadn't been himself. He missed some time in spring
Joey
training with
Betts.
The calf.
Whoa.
I mean, he's hitting .138. He's got a .450 OPS. Donaldson's the only one with any numbers, but again, he's been battling a calf. Devin Travis has literally given them nothing. Devin, as far as a leadoff hitter, he has been a chasm up there. Another 0-4 tonight. Tulo had one nice game, but that's about all he's given him. Russell Martin is not hitting again. Up and down this lineup, guys, it's just bad. It's really bad right now with Toronto offensively.
Yep, but you know what? Again, you know, I know we're everything is evaluation day by day. Give this team a little bit of time; they're going to pull out of it. I think they've got a very good offensive club, and they're going to pitch too. I think that at the end of the day, it's too hard to tell whether it's going to be Baltimore or Boston or Toronto that's going to end up winning the East. I think the Yankees are also going to be a little bit more dangerous than people give them credit for. So, I think it's going to be a great division as it typically is. Toronto's just going through a tough stretch. Doesn't mean anything at the end of the day. We'll have to see how it all plays out, but I know that they're going to start to pull out of it at some point in time. Although I do wonder where Joey Batts is at. So many teams laid off of him in the offseason. You've got scouting. You've got analytics. You've got a lot of things that tell you the story. Perhaps what we're starting to see is maybe the decline of Joey.
Hold on a second, Ned. We're a week and a half into the season. We cannot make that judgment.
Oh, thank you for bringing me back to earth, Holden.
Okay. Yep, I just wanted to make sure you knew that. You know, the other team, this reminds me of the old league championship series between the Royals and the Blue Jays throughout time, but Kansas City offense is struggling. They had the 21 runs coming into tonight. They got two right now in the ninth inning, hitting under 200 on the season, 6-for-48 runners in scoring position. Here's a team, though. I don't like the game plan that they had this offseason remaking their offense, because what they did was they went out and they got guys like Brandon Moss. They brought him in, and they want power. They're relying more on the home run balls as opposed to playing small ball. Does it turn around? I think so. I mean, they do have some good hitters in this lineup. I think it does turn around, but it's not looking good right now. Once you move down the order, you know, Hosmer's gotten off to a slow start. Moss, Cuthbert, Escobar, Mondesi, these guys have given them nothing at the start of the year. Offensively, they are every bit as bad as Toronto right now.
Well, you've got a lot of things going on there, and we can never underestimate or forget about the loss of Ventura either. That is a heartbreak. That is something that lingers with a club. It's not going to go away easily. You see the same result in Florida. Same thing, and it's hard. It's hard to, you know, when you lose somebody that young, that just doesn't go away. You just don't put that behind you. And you think about Kansas City, the great run they had for two seasons. You see, last year they really, in my opinion, never really got on track. They kind of stayed in neutral. They were a good team, but they kind of stayed in neutral for really the entire season. We kept waiting for them to get hot and start to challenge Cleveland. It never really happened. And I think that this year you've got some free agency people coming up, and you're going to have conversations about that. We'll see if they can pull out of it. But they've got a heavy heart, and that's part of their issue perhaps, and they probably maybe got a distraction or two besides that going on.
That's a couple of teams that are off to slow starts, but then there's some nice surprises that we've seen so far, Ned. And I think it really starts with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Through 9 games, 7-2. They've gotten some decent starting pitching. They've beaten up on the San Francisco Giants. The bullpen's working itself out as well. I mean, if there's one team that I have to question whether or not it continues, I mean, that's probably the team. But the bottom line is this. The record does not lie. Goldschmidt, Lamb, and Yosemite Tomas are all raking. And I want to actually throw Chris Drury into the mix as well, because he's had a nice start to the season. They've gotten some good starting pitching. Greinke settled down at start number two. And I know you kind of have a stronger feeling on the Diamondbacks than I do, because they one of those quote-unquote, well, I'm quoting myself, post-hype sleepers. Last year they choked. This year they're coming out of nowhere. And Shelby Miller, by the way, looking great.
Well, it is their 10th game of the season, Holden. Mm-hmm. You got a million years to go.
They're amazing.
But they're off to a good start. I thought they underachieved last year. I thought their team was better. I think when they lost A.J. Pollock in spring training, it really took the air out of their sails a little bit. And then Shelby Miller can't get on track. Zach Greinke can't get on track after the big contract and the big expectation that came with signing him, and really kind of organizationally jumping out of their comfort zone and giving a pitcher over $200 million. They had never come close to doing that before, even though they had great pitching for a while. And, of course, back when Schilling and Johnson were there, that wasn't what the pay scale was. But, again, that was so uncharacteristic of the organization. They got off to a slow start, and they could never rebound from it. But that's not a bad team. And they do play in a hitter's ballpark. I said earlier, might be the best hitting ballpark in the National League for a hitter's background. That green wall they've got up there is really, it helps hitters a lot. If they can pitch and they get something out of Shelby Miller and they get something out of Walker and Zach, suddenly it's a different dynamic, because they are tough at home. They're not Colorado at home, but in the NL West, they are one of the tougher teams to play at home because of the offensive power that they do have.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying about them. I just
you're
look
not
at
buying.
The, I'm not buying. I think the Dodgers are the cream of the crop there.
Well, I didn't
the
say
Giants
not.
Need to get their the Giants need to get their bullpen issue straightened out. I'm not throwing in the towel on the Giants after a week and a half. I'll tell you that much. And I still think the Rockies are a better team than the Diamondbacks. But what we've seen out of the Diamondbacks so far, and Torrey Lovello, let's not poo-poo this because there's a lot of people around the league that are saying, "Ooh, this guy." This is the next terrific manager. He's gone in there and turned things around quickly. So you get off to a hot start, and you know this as well as anybody, Ned. That's what you need on a team that could go either way. Get off to a hot start. All of a sudden, you start feeling a little confidence, and confidence goes a long way. It's something that analytics cannot factor in.
No, and I wasn't – look, I'm not discounting the rest of the teams in the NL West. I think the Dodgers are the class of the league, of the division, I should say. And I think the Giants are always going to compete and always going to be. And I think Colorado might be the most improved team in the National League. I'm just saying Arizona is off to a good start. I thought they underachieved last year. I think they've got some good players. You get Pollock and Goldschmidt together on that club. They've got some firepower. And they've got a good team. And the manager has been waiting a long time. And if you remember what he was as a player, you know he's going to grind it out. And if the players on Arizona continue to take his lead, and like the Dodgers have done with Dave Roberts, who's changed the culture there and done a terrific job, I think you're gonna have another team that's gonna have a chance to win a lot of games and cause a lot of difficulty across the board in that division.
Yeah, you got a couple of the teams off to nice starts. I like what the Angels are doing. I like what the Reds are doing early in the season, but we are early in the season. But for the Angels, I'm glad these come from behind victories have been terrific early in the year. For the Reds, if you're a Reds fan, just eat it up. You know, every win you're getting right now, 7-2. I have a hard time believing this can last any much longer with Amir Garrett and who else in your rotation is going to win games. Offensively, hey, Billy Hamilton's getting on base, and that makes a difference. Jose Peraza, young second baseman, like what he's given, especially going 3-for-5. Couple of RBIs tonight's game. You know what Joey Votto's giving you? He's not going to hit under 200 the rest of the year. Guy's a terrific hitter, one of the best in the game. Duvall's off to a great start. Eugenio Suarez is off to a great start. Schebler will turn it around. They've got some talent offensively, but the pitching's going to catch up to him. What I would say to a Reds fans is go watch your team right now. Have some fun with this. You know, it's early and they're above 500. Have a good time.
Hey, take it when you can get it, you know, and play hard and start to grow. That's how teams get good. That's how teams rebuild. They start to put together little short streaks, and they start to get some success. And as you mentioned a minute ago about having confidence, they start to get that, and suddenly they start believing in what they can do. And confidence will bring players up a level from time to time. And I think that's what you're looking at in Cincinnati. And they've been down for a few years, and they got a chance this year perhaps to start to get better and start to see the light at the end of the tunnel.
That's it for MLB on TuneIn, the podcast presented by Esurance. Make sure to join us on MLB on TuneIn Live at 7 Eastern each weeknight. During the daily five-hour show, you not only get to hear what you heard in the podcast, you also have the chance to listen live to the games and get the action as it happens. For Abe and Dustin in the LA studio and Ned Coletti alongside me, I'm Holden Kushner, and we'll catch you mañana.
Thank you for listening to MLB on TuneIn, the podcast, presented by Esurance, official sponsor of Major League Baseball. Esurance, insurance for the modern world. Catch us every weeknight on TuneIn, where we take you around Major League Baseball with live listenings, analysis, player interviews, and much more. Plus, be sure to check out our other great content on TuneIn, featuring the very best in sports, music, news, and talk. On TuneIn, get caught up in the moment with more than 100,000 music stations and 5 million podcasts from around the world. Exclusive sports content, including live MLB, NFL, NBA, and NHL games, and 24/7 news coverage from CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News Radio. TuneIn, your everything audio app.